الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى. أمس كنا ما زلنا نتكلم عن معاصي البدن. اليوم نكمل الكلام في هذا إن شاء الله. As you remember, yesterday we were still talking about the sins of the body. Inshallah, we will keep talking today about these sins. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: واستعمال اللقطط قبل التعريف بشروطه. The author said to use the last and found article لقطة before satisfying the conditions of notification. اللقطة هي الشيء الذي ضاع من مالكه بأن سقط منه أو بسبب غفلة المالك عنه في مكان غير مملوك لشخص أو أشخاص معينين، في نحو الطريق والمسجد والبحر وشاطئ البحر وما شابه ذلك. هذا الذي نريده باللقطة في هذا الباب، عند الكلام في هذا الباب. What is meant by the lost and found article in this context is the article which is lost by its owner because he did not pay attention for one reason or another. The owner lost it in an area, in a place which is not owned by a specific person or people, like the street, like the masjid, the sea, the ocean, the shore, a place like that which is not owned by a specific person or people. أما لو وجدت في مكان هو ملك لك شيئا لغيرك فإن هذا يكون حكمه حكم الأمانة بالنسبة لك، كأنه وضع أمانة عندك، ليس حكمه حكم اللقطة الذي سنتكلم عنه. On the other hand, so if you find something owned by someone else, you know this is not yours, in your place, in your house, in your car, etc., in your store, this thing that you find would not be the lost and found article that we are going to talk about. You treat such a thing as a safe kept. Safe kept article. يعني لا تتملكه بعد سنة مثلا، which means it does not become yours. You cannot say, okay, I will now take it for myself after 1 year. أما اللقطة فإذا وجدها الإنسان يعرف عنها. As for the lost and found article, when one finds it, one notifies about it. أين يجتمع الناس؟ أقرب مكان لاجتماع الناس إلى المكان الذي وجدتها فيه تعرف فيه. Where is the closest place where people gather to the place where you found this article? You would go there and notify the people there about it. مثلا أمام المسجد, for example, in front of the masjid, ليس في داخل المسجد, not inside the masjid, لأن التعريف عن اللقطة في داخل المسجد مذموم. It is dispraised to notify people about the lost and found article inside the masjid. المسجد ما بني لذلك. A masjid is not built for such matters. أو إذا كان هناك مثلا مكان آخر يجتمع فيه الناس قريب. Or if there is another place close to where you found it, where people gather, you go there and notify them. أولا يذهب الشخص يعرف كل يوم. First, one notifies these people, the people there, every day. ثم كل أسبوع, after a period of time, every week. ثم كل شهر, then every month. إذا مر سنة, if a year lapses من ابتداء التعريف, since one started notifying the people about this article, وكان هو يعرف بنية أن يتملكها إذا مر العام, and the one who is notifying is doing that with the intention of owning, to take this article for himself after the lapse of a year. After the year lapses, he will take it for himself. So if he is doing this notification with this intention, إذا كان يعرف بهذه النية, تعريفه بنية أن يتملكها بعد مرور العام, ومر عام على ذلك, له أن يتملكها عند ذلك. If he notifies with the intention of taking it for himself, for it to become under his ownership after 1 year, and then 1 year lapses without the owner appears, without its owner would be known, then the one who is notifying, the one who found the article, is entitled to take it for oneself. يجوز له أن يتملكها عند ذلك بنية أن يغرم لصاحبها إذا ظهر. إذا ظهر صاحبها وهي ما زالت عنده يعطيه, وإن لم تكن عنده يغرم له قيمتها. With the intention, if the year lapses, he is entitled to take it for himself, and then if he does that, it is permissible, with the intention that if one day its owner is known, he gives it back to him, if he still has it, or he pays him the equivalent of it if He doesn't have it anymore. هذا هو حكم اللقطة. This is the judgment pertaining to the lost and found article. وفي بعض الأحيان في بعض الأماكن تقوم كتابة ورقة ووضع إعلان في المكان الذي وجدها فيه مكان التعريف. And sometimes in certain conditions, under certain conditions, in certain areas, if you write a paper and you post it where you find the article, that takes place, that is valid, instead of you going to where the people gather and tell them about the issue. وفي اللقطة تفاصيل أخرى تعرف من كتب الفقه. The scholars mentioned other details pertaining to this issue also. أما إن كان الشخص لا يثق بنفسه بأمانته في حفظ اللقطة والقيام بالواجب فيها فلا يلتقطها. If one does not trust oneself that one is able to do what he has to do religiously, then one does not pick it up. He leaves it. وفي بعض الأحيان لا يستطيع أن يتركها. But take in consideration that in some times one cannot leave it where it is. مثل ما إذا كان عليها اسم الله وكانت في مكان مستقذر. Like if it is a currency that has the name of God on it and it was in a filthy place. لا بد أن يرفعها من ذلك المكان. He has to pick it and not leave it there. قال المؤلف والجلوس مع مشاهدة المنكر إذا لم يعذر. The author said to sit in a place where disobedience is being committed without an excuse. وهذا سبق أن تكلمنا فيه. We talked about this yesterday. أن الشخص إذا كان في حلقة يغتاب فيها الناس, في مجلس يغتاب فيه الناس, أو كان الشخص في على مائدة يدار عليها الخمر أو ما شابه, أن عليه أن يفارق ذلك. We said that if someone is sitting in a circle where people are committing gossip and backbiting, he needs to leave that circle if he cannot stop them from doing that. And if he is sitting with a group of people drinking alcohol, he needs to leave them if he cannot stop them from doing that, etc. We talked about that yesterday. قال المؤلف والتطفل في الولائم وهو الدخول بغير إذن أو أدخلوه حياء. The author said to enter into a banquet without permission or to be admitted out of shyness. من معاصي البدن أن يحضر الإنسان الوليمة التي لم يدعى إليها. Among the sins of the body is for someone to attend a banquet to which he was not invited. لأنه يكون يتصرف في ملك الغيب بغير إذنه. Because by this he is using and consuming what others own without their permission, without them accepting that to be done. أو عرف أنه دعي إلى الوليمة من باب الحياء أيضا لا يحل له. Likewise, if one knows that he was invited to attend the banquet out of shyness, يعني حقيقة هم لا يرضون بحضوره لكن حياء دعوه. Truly, in their hearts, they do not want him to be there. They do not accept his presence. But out of shyness, they invited him. في هذه الحال ليس له أن يذهب. In this case, he is not permitted to go there. وقد جاء في الحديث الذي رواه ابن حبان وغيره لا يحل لمسلم أن يأخذ عصا أخيه بغير طيب نفس منه. عصا، إيش قيمة العصا؟ It is narrated in the hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام that he said لا يحل لمسلم أن يأخذ عصا أخيه بغير طيب نفس منه, which means it is not permissible for a Muslim to take the stick of another Muslim without his goodwill. What's the value of a stick? It's a very minute value. Still, it is not permissible to do that without the goodwill of the other Muslim. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Hibban. حتى مجرد دخول ملك المسلم بغير رضاه لا يجوز. Just entering a place owned by another Muslim without his goodwill is not permissible. هناك أناس يعني كيف أقول يتعيشون من ذلك, عملهم مبني على هذا, يذهبون إلى الولائم من غير أن يدعوا ليتعرفوا بالناس ويكسبوا المال منهم. There are some people that this is their way to earn their living. They go to banquets without being invited to meet people and somehow get money from them because of that. في زمن بعض الخلفاء كان طلب أناسا ليقتلهم الخليفة. بعض الطفيليين رآهم يذهبون وهيئاتهم حسنة يعني, فظن أنهم دعوا إلى وليمة فذهب معهم, كاد يقتل. In the past, a ruler wanted, he asked some people, he sent after some people. He wanted to kill them. So one of those people, he saw them going wherever they were going. So he thought that they were going to a banquet. So he went with them. And almost he was killed. Almost he was killed because of that. قال المؤلف وعدم التسوية بين الزوجات في النفقة والمبيت, وأما التفضيل في المحبة القلبية والميل فليس بمعصية. The author said to commit inequity among the wives in terms of the obligatory spending and of a night terms. The preference in attraction in the heart too, and in the love of one wife over another is not a sin. الإنسان لا يملك لا يسيطر على ميل قلبه. One of us cannot control the inclination of one's heart. That is, one does not direct his heart to incline towards one thing and not to incline towards another. هذا يحصل بغير إرادة منه. This occurs without his intention. قد يكون الشخص متزوجا بأكثر من زوجة ويميل قلبه إلى واحدة أكثر من الأخرى أو الأخريات. One might be married to more than one wife and his heart would be attracted towards one of them more than the other or the others. هذا ما فيه معصية. This is not a sin. لأنه ليس بيد الإنسان. Because this is not something that one controls. لكن إن حمله هذا الميل على أن أخل بالنفقة الواجبة, إن حمله على هذا الميل على ترك المبيت الواجب, إن حمله هذا الميل على ترك العدل في النفقة الواجبة وفي المبيت, هنا يكون وقع في الإثم. If this tendency, if this attraction leads one to leave out being fair and what pertains the obligatory spending, the obligatory support, and the obligatory turning, in this case one would be sinful. مثلا صار ينفق على زوجة النفقة الواجبة ولا ينفق على الأخرى, أو ينقص عن الواجب للأخرى حتى يزيد عما يجب للثانية. For example, if one starts to give full support to one wife and not to support the other, or not to support as one has to do it religiously, one wife, so he can give more to the other wife. So he does not support all the obligatory support to one wife, so he would be able to give more than the obligatory support to another wife. In this case, he would be sinful. أو صار يبيت عند واحدة ولا يبيت عند الأخرى. Or if one starts to spend nights with one wife without spending nights with another one. أو يبيت أسبوعا عند هذه مقابل يوم عند الأخرى. Or for him to spend 1 week with this wife and 1 day with the other wife. هذا يكون حراما. This would be prohibited. أما قول الله تعالى ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء ولو حرصتم فمعناه العدل في المحبة القلبية. As for the saying of Allah تبارك وتعالى ولن تستطيعوا أن تعدلوا بين النساء ولو حرصتم. حرصتم الآية ليس حرصتم. ولو حرصتم. This verse in Surah An-Nisa means that you are not able to treat You are not able to be fair in what pertains to your wives, even if you put your utmost effort. This refers to the issue of the heart attraction, not how to treat one's wives. It means whatever you do, you are not going to be able to give the same, to have the same attraction to both of them in an equal, totally equal way. Whatever you do, you cannot do that. That's what the verse means. It does not mean you are not able to treat your wives in a fair way, no. Whatever you do, you are not able to do that. Then how was the Prophet then treating his wives? Would anyone say he was treating them in an unfair way? How was Abu Bakr treating his wives? Umar, Uthman, Ali, all of them during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and not at any moment the Prophet told them, this is unjust from you. So what it means, this verse refers to the inclination of the heart, not to the treatment. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام مرة قال اللهم هذا قسمي فيما أملك فلا تؤاخذني فيما لا أملك. The Prophet once said, اللهم هذا قسمي فيما أملك فلا تؤاخذني فيما لا أملك, which means I am doing my best in what I can control. So, oh Allah, do not blame me about what I cannot control. That is, the inclination of my heart, I cannot control it. So I am not blameful? Blameworthy. I am not blameworthy for that. قال المؤلف وخروج المرأة إن كانت تمر على الرجال الأجانب بقصد التعرض لهم. The author said, for a woman to go out with the intention to pass by men to tempt them. المرأة قد تخرج من بيتها متزينة وغير متزينة, متعطرة وغير متعطرة. A woman might go out from her house wearing perfume, and she might go out without wearing perfume. She might go out dressed up, and she might go out without being dressed up. كيفما كان خروجها ولو خرجت منتقبة إذا كان خروجها بقصد الفتنة فهي آثمة. However, regardless of her situation when she goes out, even if she goes out wearing a niqab, that is covering her face, if she goes out with the intention of seducing men, she is sinful for what she does. She is sinful with this walk that she takes. أما إن خرجت بغير ذلك القصد فهنا تفصيل. Now, if she goes out without this intention, there are details pertaining this issue. إن خرجت على الحال التي أمر الشرع المرأة أن يكون حالها عليه عند خروجها فليس عليها لوم في ذلك. If she goes out according to the way that the rules of the religion orders her to acquire, to have when she goes out, she is not blameworthy. إذا خرجت متزينة أو متعطرة لا بقصد فتنة الرجال من غير أن يكون عندها قصد فتنة الرجال فليس عليها إثم في خروجها لكن هذا مكروه منها خير لها ألا تفعل. If she goes out wearing perfume or dressed up without having the intention to seduce others, in this case, she is not sinful for going out like that, but this is disliked. This is disliked. It is better on her part not to do it. إذا خرجت على هذا الوجه ولو كانت ذاهبة إلى مجلس علم لتعلم أو تتعلم لا يكون لها ثواب في الخروج في مشيها هذا في خروجها هذا لا يكون لها ثواب لذلك لا تنوي الثواب بهذا المشي إذا خرجت على هذه الحال إلا أن يكون ذلك لعذر. So if she goes out like that, even if she is going to give a class or take a religious class, she does not get reward in this walking that she does, because she is not observing how the religion ordered her, what the religion told her to observe when she goes out. So in her walking, she does not get reward. Thus, she does not intend to get reward by her walking if she goes out like that. لكن ليس عليها ذنب. But this is not sinful. بعض الناس في هذه الأيام يتشددون في هذا الأمر في غير موضع التشدد. Some people nowadays, they pervert the rules of the religion about this matter. يحرمون على المرأة الخروج متعطرة مثلا. For example, they say it is haram for the woman to go out wearing perfume. It is not haram, it is disliked. لو كان حراما لما كان لو كان مجرد التعطر يؤدي إلى الفتنة كما يقولون لما كانت المرأة لما كان يسن لها التعطر للحج أي قبل الإحرام بالحج. Had it been the case that it is haram for the woman to go out like that, that it is that this is something that in any case leads to seduction, had this been the case, then it would have not been sunnah recommended for the woman to wear perfume before making the intention of hajj. نساء النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كنا يفعلنا هذا كنا يضعنا المسك حتى يسيل على وجوههن قبل الإحرام. The wives of يعني قبل الإحرام كنا يضعنا المسك. The wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام used to wear mask before الإحرام, before making the intention of Hajj, and afterwards this mask would run on their faces even. النبي ما أنكر عليهن قط Not at one point of time the Prophet told them not to do that. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْرِفُونَ أَنَّ نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ شُدِّدَ فِي حَقِّهِنَّ فِي بَعْضِ الْأُمُورِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ بَقِيَةِ النِّسَاءِ. And you know that pertaining to certain issues, the wives of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, the rules pertaining to them were tighter than others pertaining to certain issues. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُهُ حَدِيثُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما امرأة خرجت متعطرة فمرت بقوم ليجدوا ريحها فهي زانية أي تشبه الزانية أيما امرأة خرجت متعطرة فمرت بقوم ليجدوا ريحها شرط في الحديث ليكون عليها معصية أن يكون قصدها من الخروج أيش أن يجد الناس ريحها أي لتفتنهم أن تقصد بذلك أن يجد الناس ريحها شرط أن تقصد بذلك فتنة الناس بريحها مش ليجد أن تشرط شرط أن تخرج ليجد شرط أن تخرج بقصد أن يجد الناس ريحها فتفتنهم بذلك The hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام clarifies this matter. It is narrated in the hadith of Ibn Hibban أيما امرأة خرجت من بيتها متعطرة فمرت بقوم ليجدوا ريحها فهي زانية which means any woman that goes out from her house and passes by people with the intention of seducing them, with the intention of letting them smell the perfume that she wears to seduce them, then she is similar to someone who commits a zina. That is, she is sinful. That's what it means. So as you can see in the hadith, for her to be sinful, it is clearly mentioned a condition that she intends by that the people, to seduce the people. Men, usually. وليس المقصود من كلامنا أن وليس معنى الحديث أن إثمها كإثم الزانية بل معناه عليها إثم. The hadith does not mean that her doing is as severe as committing the true zina. No, it's similar. She is sinful. وليس المقصود من كلامنا تشجيع النساء على الخروج متعطرات متزينات لا لكن المقصود بيان حكم الشرع فإن تحريف الشرع حرام We do not mean by that to encourage women to go out wearing perfume and dressed up etc. No, but We are clarifying what is the judgment in the religion. It is haram to pervert the rules of the religion. ليس أحد منا أحكم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا أحد منا أعلم بالمصالح من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not there is no one among us that has more wisdom than the Prophet or knows what is better for the people more than the Prophet. على أن النبي كان يبلغ عن ربه أيضا. On top of that, the Prophet conveyed what Allah revealed to him. فنحن وظيفتنا أن نتعلم ما جاء في الشرع. علينا أن نسلم لما جاء في الشرع وأن نفعل ما أمرنا الشرع بفعله. So we need to learn what did the religion ordered us to do. We need to submit to that and do what we are ordered to do. That's it. We do not know more. لذلك مثلا البيهقي ذكر كراهية خروج المرأة متطيبة في كتابه السنن، ما قال حرمة، والكراهية عند الشافعية معناه بغير إثم. This is why الإمام البيهقي in his book السنن he mentioned that it is disliked, makruh for the woman to go out wearing perfume. He did not say it is haram. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والسحر. The author said sorcery. يعني من معاصي البدن الكبيرة السحر. Among the enormous sins of the body is sorcery. وهو من السبع الموبقات، من الكبائر السبعة التي هي من أكبر الكبائر. It is among the worst enormous sins. ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبعة كبائر في حديث واحد للدلالة على شدة إثمها، منها السحر. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام in one hadith ordered us to avoid seven enormous sins. He mentioned them in one hadith to clarify how sinful they are, how harmful they are. And among these seven sins, he mentioned sorcery. ويكون بفعل أفعال خبيثة وأقوال وقول أقوال خبيثة. Sorcery takes place by saying bad words and doing bad acts. منه ما يكون معه أفعال كفرية. Some types of sorcery includes doing blasphemous acts مثل السجود للشيطان, like to prostrate to the devil. بعض الناس أخبر عن نفسه أن الشيطان ما علمه السحر حتى سجد له. One person told about himself that the devil did not teach him sorcery until he prostrated to the devil. وآخر قال ما علمني السحر الجن ما علموني السحر حتى كتبت الفاتحة بالبول. Another person said, they did not teach me sorcery until I wrote Al-Fatiha with urine. السحر أحيانا يشتمل على كفر. Sometimes sorcery includes blasphemy. وأحيانا لا يشتمل على كفر. And sometimes it does not include blasphemy. حتى في حال عدم اشتماله على الكفر فهو ذنب كبير. So even if it does not include blasphemous sayings or doings, it is an enormous sin. هناك كتاب مشهور مشهور في بعض في كثير من البلاد. ايش اسمه؟ نسيت الان اسمه. فيه يعلم الناس اشياء ومن جملتها اشياء من السحر، وفيه بعض الكلمات التي هي عبادة للشمس. There is a famous book in several countries. It's printed in Arabic, in which it teaches people about different issues, among them issues of sorcery. And in it, there is an explicit terms of worship of the sun. أحيانا السحر يكون فيه كفر. So sometimes sorcery includes blasphemy in it. أيضا تعلم السحر أحيانا كما ذكرنا يحوج إلى الكفر. Even to learn sorcery sometimes includes blasphemy. That is, for one to learn sorcery, sometimes it would be made a condition for him to commit blasphemy for that. إن فعل كفر. If he does it, he blasphemes by that. وكما يحرم السحر يحرم تعلمه. As it is prohibited to practice sorcery, it is prohibited to learn it. وبعض العلماء فصل. And some scholars, they gave details about this issue. بعضهم قال إن كان تعلمه لا يحوج إلى كفر ولا إلى فعل محرم ولم يكن بنية ممارسته، لم يكن يتعلم حتى ينفذ، يجوز، وإلا فهو حرام. Some scholars gave details about this issue. They said, if it is not a condition to blaspheme, to learn sorcery, and it is not a condition to commit a sin to learn it, and one does not have the intention of applying it, then it is permissible for him to learn it. يعني بعضهم قال حرام في كل حال، سواء يعني بعضهم قال حرام إن أراد أن يطبق أو لم يريد، وبعضهم قال إن لم يريد أن ينفذ يجوز بالشرط الذي ذكرناه. خلاف بينهم. So some scholars said in both cases it is haram to learn sorcery. Some said if you do not want to apply it and it is not a condition for you to commit a sin to learn it, then it is not prohibited for you to learn it. There is difference in opinions among them. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منا من تكهن أو تكهن له أو سحر أو سحر له. ليس منا من تكهن، من صار يخبر عن المغيبات، أو تكهن له، أو طلب من واحد أن يخبره عنها، أو سحر عمل السحر، أو سحر له، أو طلب من واحد أن يعمل السحر بطلبه. ليس منا معناه ليس مؤمنا كاملا، مرتكب للكبيرة. وقد تكون في بعض الأحيان كفرا. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said in the hadith ليس منا من تكهن أو تكهن له أو سحر أو سحر له, which means the one who talks about the unforeseen, like the astrologers, for example, do. So the ones who talk about the unforeseen, and those who ask others to tell them about the unforeseen, those who commit sorcery, and those who ask others to commit sorcery for them, all of those are not among the perfect believers. They are committing enormous sins. And sometimes, as you know, these sins reach the level of blasphemy. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. قال المؤلف: والخروج عن طاعة الإمام كالذين خرجوا على علي فقاتلوه. قال البيهقي: كل من قاتل عليا فهم بغاه. وكذلك قال الشافعي قبله: ولو كان فيهم من هم من خيار الصحابة, لأن الولي لا يستحيل عليه الذنب ولو كان من الكبائر. The author said, to rebel against the caliph like those who rebelled against Ali and fought him. Al-Bayhaqi said, all who fought Ali were aggressors. Al-Shafi'i said the same, even though some of the best companions were among those aggressors. It is not impossible for the wali to commit a sin, even if it is an enormous sin. However, he repents of it. كما ذكرنا حرم الله تعالى وحرم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تحريما بليغا الخروج على الخليفة. As we mentioned previously, it is severely haram, as mentioned in Al-Quran and by the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, to rebel against the caliph, that is to take him out of power. هذا ذنب كبير. This is an enormous sin. فالذين خرجوا على سيدنا علي حاربوه كانوا بغاة. This is why we say that those who fought Ali when he became a caliph were enormous sinners. They committed an enormous sin, enormous sins by that. They were unjust. مع أن بعض أكابر الصحابة كان بين الذين وقفوا في صف المقاتلين له. Although few, among very few, among the great companions were in the side of those who fought Ali. لكن حكم الشرع لا يتغير بفعل هؤلاء. The rules of the religions do not change because of what these few companions did. الحرام حرام كائنا من كان فاعله, والحلال حلال كائنا من كان فاعله. What is prohibited is prohibited regardless of the one who does it, and what is permissible regardless of the one who does it. اثنان من أكابر الصحابة كانا في صف الذين قاتلوا عليا. two among the greatest companions were among were at the side of those who fought Ali. Talha ibn Ubaidillah was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam رضي الله عنهما كانا في صف من حارب عليا في وقعة الجمل. At the battle of Al-Jamal, the camel, Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, both they were at the side of those who fought against Al-Imam Ali. لكنهما تابا ولم يموتا على هذه الحال. But both of them, they repented and they did not die on that situation. الزبير قبل المعركة ناداه علي قال له كلمني فجاء إليه فقال له علي تذكر يوما لما قال لك الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لتقاتلن علي قال لك أتحب عليا فقلت وما لي لا أحبه يا رسول الله وهو ابن عمة وهو ابن خالي وابن عمتي يعني وهو قريبي أيضا فقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لتقاتلنه وأنت ظالم له فقال الزبير كنت نسيت أنت ذكرتني فتاب من وقته وترك المعركة. Before the battle started, Ali told Az-Zubayr, I want to talk to you. So Az-Zubayr came to him. Ali told him, do you remember one day when we were, you and me, with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he told you, do you love Ali? And you said, yes, I love him. And on top of that, he's my relative, my cousin. So he told you that one day you are going to fight against him and you would be unjust by doing that. When Ali said that to Az-Zubayr, Az-Zubayr said, I forgot, now you reminded me. Immediately, he repented and he left the scene. بعد ذلك لحقه واحد خبيث فقتله. Afterwards, after he left the scene, a bad person followed him and he killed him. لما عرف علي بقتله قال بشر قاتل ابن صفية بالنار. He said, when Ali knew about that, he said, give the news, tell the one who killed the son of Safiya. Safiya is his mother, the mother of Az-Zubayr. Tell the one who killed Az-Zubayr that he is going to be tortured in hellfire. لأنه ما قاتله إلا بعد التوبة وبعد أن ترك أرض المعركة. Because he killed him after he repented and he left the scene of the battle. وأما طلحة فأيضا انكشف له الحال وهو في في أرض المعركة انكشف له الحال عرف أنه غلط بحضوره في المعسكر المضاد لعلي قال أنا كيف فعلت هذا فتاب وأراد الانصراف قال أنا أنصرف لا أقاتل. As for Talha, at one point of time, he recognized that he committed a sin by being with those who are against the caliph. So he repented and he told them, I'm leaving, I'm not going to fight against Ali. واحد من الذين كانوا معه لما رآه يريد الانصراف رماه بسهم فقتله. One of the people who were with him, that is, who were fighting against Ali, when he saw that he wanted to leave out the scene of the battle, he shot him with an arrow and he killed him. لكن طلحة ما مات فورا. He did not die immediately. قبل أن يموت مر به واحد من عسكر سيدنا علي. Before he died, one among the soldiers who were with Imam Ali passed by him. طلحة قال له أنت في عسكر من؟ طلحة asked him, in which side are you? قال أنا من عسكر أمير المؤمنين. He said, I am among the soldiers of أمير المؤمنين, of the Caliph. قال مد يدك أبايعك لعلي, أجدد البيعة يعني لعلي قبل الموت. So he told him, give me your hand, I want to renew paying allegiance to Ali. So he did that. ثم مات. Then he died after that. فطلحة والزبير لأنهما وليان من أولياء الله تعالى ما ماتا إلا بعد التوبة. Talha and Az-Zubayr, because they were among the righteous Muslims, both, each one of them was a wali, a great wali. They repented before they died from what they did. قاتلوا طلحة يقال له مروان بن الحكم. The one who killed Talha is called مروان بن الحكم. والذي قتل الزبير يقال له عمرو بن جرموز. The one who killed الزبير, his name is عمر بن جرموز. يا لطيف. طلحة والزبير كلاهما من العشرة المبشرين بالجنة. طلحة and الزبير both are among the 10 people whom the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave them the good news that they will be admitted to paradise. هؤلاء العشرة أفضل الصحابة على الإطلاق. Those 10 are the best among all the companions. طلحة والزبير من بينهما. طلحة and الزبير are among those 10 companions. رضي الله عنهما. طلحة كان جوادا شديد الكرم, شجاعا جوادا. طلحة was a courageous and very generous person. كان من كرمه يلقب بالفياض. Because he was very generous, people used to call him al-fayyad. If you want to translate it literally to English, it would be the flooding person. He gives a lot, like a flood. That's how they used to call him, Al-Fayyad. مرة واحد كافر أراد ضرب النبي بالسيف. طلحة تلقى السيف بيده. Once a blasphemer wanted to hit the Prophet with his sword, and Talha, he saw him. So he protected the Prophet with his own hand. بعد ذلك صار فيها عطل. After that, his hand, he couldn't move his hand because of that, permanently. والزبير أيضا كان شجاعا شديد الكرم. Likewise, الزبير was very generous, and very courageous. مات وعليه دين كثير كثير من شدة إحسانه للناس. Because he was very generous, when he died, he had a lot of debt on him. قال كان قال لولده قبل موته إذا وجدت أن ديني كثير فاطلب من الله من مولى الزبير اطلب من مولى الزبير عنا من الله عز وجل أن يقضي عني ديني. He told his son before he died, if you find that I have a lot of debts, then ask my Lord, say, O Lord of Az-Zubayr, help me to pay the debts of Az-Zubayr. Ibnuhu wajada alayhi daynan aziman. Fafa'ala thalik. Faqit'at ard wahida. Kana tarakaha Az-Zubayr. Ba'aha. Qada minha ad-dayn. وفرق المال على الورثة كل واحد من الورثة صار غنيا مع كثرة أولاد الزبير وتعدد زوجاته. So his son did what his father told him to do, and then he sold only a piece of land that Az-Zubayr left, one piece of land. He sold it, and the money that he got from it, he got so much money from selling it to a point that he paid all the debts, and the rest was distributed among the inheritors, who were many, and each of one became very wealthy out of that. رضي الله عنهما في معركة اليرموك مع الروم. الزبير قال من يكون معي يحمي ظهري؟ فقال له بعض الناس نحن نكون. قال تقولون ذلك لن تستطيعوا. ثم بعد ذلك هاجم وحده، هاجم الجيش وحده، جيش الروم، شقه من ناحية إلى الناحية الأخرى، ثم رجع ومعه أسير أيضا الزبير رضي الله عنه. كل الذين قالوا نحن نحمي ظهرك ما استطاعوا أن يكملوا. In the battle of اليرموك against the Romans, he told the people who were in the army, who would come with me and protect my back, just to protect my back. So some said, we will come and we will not leave you. He said, this is what you are saying now. I don't think you are going to be able to do it. Then he attacked the Romans. He went through the whole army from one side to another. So he split the army of the Romans. They couldn't stop him. He went all the way and came back with a prisoner with him. All the others who were with him, they couldn't continue. They could not. He went alone. And he came back with a prisoner. So, رضي الله عنهما. Those two people, Talha and Az-Zubayr, had great merits. But they committed this mistake, then they repented. So it is not permissible to degrade them, as some people do unjustly. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. قال المؤلف والتولي على يتيم أو مسجد أو لقضاء أو نحو ذلك مع علمه عن بالعجز عن القيام بتلك الوظيفة. The author said to accept taking care of an orphan or a mosque or to act as a judge and the like, knowing that one will be unable to perform the task appropriately. أية وظيفة الشخص يعلم من نفسه أنه ليس أهلا لتوليها ليس له أن يتولاها. Any position that one knows that he is not qualified, that one knows that he is not qualified to take it, to perform it, it is not permissible for him to do that. Any position. مثلا حاكم، قاضي، حتى أن يتولى مال يتيم أو إمامة مسجد أو غير ذلك، أي وظيفة إذا كان يعلم من نفسه أنه ليس أهلا لتوليها لا يتولاها. A ruler, a judge, someone who takes care of the money of the orphan, an imam in a mosque, a teacher, any position that one knows that he is not qualified to perform it, it is not permissible for him to accept to take it. مثل واحد يعرف أنه إذا كان مال لغيره بين يديه يأكله بغير حق. Like if someone knows that if he has under his control the money of others, he will take it unrightfully or some of it. إذا قالوا له نوظفك أمين صندوق نجعل المال معك لا يقبل. If anyone tells him, I want to hire you to work as a treasurer, he would not accept. He should not accept because he knows of himself that he is not qualified for that. فإن قبل مع علمه بالعجز عليه ذنب. If he accepts while he knows that he is not qualified, he is sinful for doing that. قال المؤلف وإيواء الظالم ومنعه ممن يريد أخذ الحق منه. The author said to harbor an unjust person, that is to protect one from those who want to obtain the right from one. إذا كان لأناس حق على شخص فامتنع من إعطائهم حقهم فجاء واحد فحماه حتى يمنع حصول أولئك على حقهم، يعينه على الامتناع من دفع الحق لأصحابه، هذا الذي يحميه عليه ذنب كبير من كبائر الذنوب، هذا الذي سموه إيواء الظالم. If someone has to fulfill the right of another person or other people, but he does not do that, he abstains from doing that. If someone else helps him in that, protects him, so he does not let others take the right from him, this one who protects him is committing an enormous sin. So by protecting this unjust person and preventing others from getting the right from him, he would be committing an enormous sin. والعياذ بالله تعالى. جاء في الحديث لعن الله من آوى محدثا. المحدث هو هذا الذي جنى ظلم فكان لغيره حق عليه. لعن الله من آوى محدثا أي لعن الله من آوى مثل هذا ومنع غيره من أخذ حقه منه. In the hadith narrated by Muslim, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, لعن الله من آوى محدثا, which means the dam of Allah is above the one, is upon the one who protects an unjust person and prevents others from getting the rights from this unjust person. And this clearly indicates that this is an enormous sin. قال المؤلف وترويع المسلمين. The author said to terrorize Muslims. وهذا من معاصي البدن التي هي من الكبائر. This is among the enormous sins of the body. وكنا تكلمنا عنها فيما مضى. In the previous sessions we talked about this. وقلنا حتى لو رفع الحديد السلاح في وجه أخيه من أبيه وأمه لتخويفه عليه إثم كبير. If you remember, we said that even if the person was one's brother from his own blood, from his mother and his father, and he points a weapon towards him to terrorize him, he is committing an enormous sin. فأي نوع من أنواع الترويع للمسلم حرام. Any type of terrorizing a Muslim is prohibited. طيب الآن نكتفي بهذا. Let us stop here for now. إن كان لأحد سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, go ahead. شاهد, go ahead. Well, she can remove that without wearing perfume. It is better for the woman when she goes out, what is recommended for the woman, that when she goes out without wearing perfume and without wearing fancy clothes. With humble clothes and without wearing perfume. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله. لا تمنعوا النساء من الخروج إلى المساجد إذا أردنا الخروج إلى المساجد. وليخرجن تفيلات, أي ليس بثياب الزينة. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله, which means do not prevent the woman from going to the mosques if they want to go to the mosques. But let them go out, let the woman go out without fancy clothes, with humble clothes. So it is better for the woman to go out on this. This is what al-Shara' recommended the woman to do. To go out without wearing perfume, without wearing fancy clothes, and without wearing tight clothes. This is how she should act. Regardless of the fashion. لا لا تمنعوا إماء الله مساجد الله وليخرجن وليخرجن تفيلات تاء فاء لام ألف تاء وليخرجن تفيلات أي بثياب غير ثياب الزينة. Sometimes, I'm not saying always, but sometimes wearing clothes other than the type of clothes that Sharia recommended, even if these clothes cover the proper areas and one is not sinful by wearing them, but sometimes even without one knowing, wearing such clothes prevent other people from learning and accepting the knowledge. Regardless of that, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام told us what is better, so we should do what is better. Let's have an agreement, okay? Allah yubariku fikum. Okay. No more questions on papers for now. And I'll take few questions from yourselves and then we'll stop the questions so we can prepare ourselves for the prayer of Al-Jumu'ah. And then after the prayer is done, that is at 3:30, after we pray Al-Asr, inshallah, we will continue. So let's start with Muhammad Kamun. What's the other option? Sure, I don't know. What's the other options? Go ahead. If you take it and keep it with you, if you pick it and keep it with you, you are not going to be able to notify about it, isn't it? You are not going to be able here to come back to the store and say, if anyone lost an amount of money more than $5 and less than $100, let him contact Muhammad Kamun at this phone number, for example. Can you do that? You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Okay, another option is to leave it and not to notify anyone, and the first one after you who will come and seize it will take it, put it in his pocket and go away with it. Isn't it the case? Then the less harmful thing is to tell them about it. So you tell them about it, they put it in, there is a lost and found thing, isn't it? So in this case, you tell them about it, they pick it, they put it in that, whatever they do. It's less harmful than just leave it for another one to take it and go away with it. تفضل. كان ينتسب إلى مناصرة علي. نعم. لا الجمل. جمل. Go ahead. So he knew that the due zakah is $5, zakatul fitr, you mean. And he paid $100. So he meant what is more than five is a donation, charity. This is what he meant. He can do it. One can do that. To pay instead of $520, and to have the intention that what exceeds the obligation is an act of charity. It is permissible. Go ahead. Yeah. If she is moving, that is in front of the people, yani. No, saying dhikr, she gets reward for saying dhikr. Yeah, because this is not, those are two separate issues. This is not related to her walking, to the state, her state. What is considered by the people zina? Come on, you know what's zina. Yeah, of course, jewelry. Of course, jewelry is a type of choosing. A type of adornment, of course. Sometimes it is does not attract the attention. It's very minute. We are not talking about that, of course. Oh, this is very, it has a lot of details. In general, women and men, let me say a general issue. One should not say except what is rewardable. So in everything, before saying or doing any act, one should think, is this beneficial or not? If it is not beneficial, then not to do it. If it is beneficial, then to do it. Even if I say something to make another person happy, to laugh or the like, then I think, why am I saying that? Do I have a good intention in saying that, or just to spend time? If there is a good intention behind that, if this act is good with a good intention, then one says it. If not, then one does not. And likewise in every act. Like sometimes someone would bring Sheikh Abdullah something to eat, or he would ask someone to buy something. And then many times, and he does it repeatedly. I'm sure he does that to let us, for us to learn it. He would ask someone Is this beneficial? Is this fruit beneficial? For what is it beneficial? And then he asks someone, get this book, open at this place, and then read. And he tells him to read on him so everyone would hear. And that person would start reading things about the benefits of this fruit or this whatever. And then he eats from it a little bit. Every time, almost every time he does that. And he, if I now memorize many things about those, the benefits of these fruits, I'm sure he, long time ago, he knew the benefits. He doesn't need for that to be. He tells the person, bring that book, open at that page, and read what's there. Come on, he knows what's there. But I'm sure he does it repeatedly, sometimes every day. For us to draw our attention, this is a way to teach us that don't just eat anything for the sake of eating. Seek the benefit from doing what you do. If he, and in this way, if he offers you something to eat, he will be sure that from that, he will be sure that you are more happy about it. Because you know now that this benefits you in this and that. Subhanallah. This is how one should act in every act, in every word, to check why I want to say this, why I want to do this. Is there benefit in that or not? Do I get reward for it or not? Is it good in al-shara' or not? If one reaches that point, khalas. That's it. Tfaddal Hajj. This is the last question, and then I'll answer these ones. تكون ناسية حالتها ما أنا منتبهة أنه هي خرجت على الحال الفلانية وإلا إذا كانت تعرف أن خروجها على هذه الحال ليس لها ثواب به بهالخروج ما إلى ثواب وبتعرف أنه هي هلأ على هذه الحال والشرع بيقول أنه هي وعلى هذه الحال ليس لها ثواب ومع ذلك تطلب الثواب في هذا الخروج في هذا المشي أو نحوه تكون مكذبة للشرع ما أظن يعني حدا يهتم بأمور الدين يفعل ذلك بس بيكون تكذيب للدين هذا طيب شخص وجد 20 دولاما في الطريق فعرف عنه بكتابة ورقة ووضعها في محل مواجه للطريق أصحاب هذا المحل لم يبقوا هذه الورقة إلا لمدة 5 أيام ووضعها في الطريق الورقة لا يتحصل بسبب أنهم ينزعونها فماذا يفعل في هذه الحال يفعل ما يستطيع يحفظ هذا المال معه إلى أن يظهر صاحبه ماذا يفعل بيسأل باللسان كل مدة هو أو يوكل واحدا يسأل عين المال يحفظه صحيح If someone finds $20 in the road he wrote a paper he put it in a store close to the to where he found it then the people in the store took the paper off after 5 days he cannot put it in the store post it in the store in the road what can he do He keeps the money with him, the money itself, until his owner appears. He asks with his tongue. He tells the people there, if someone comes and asks, let him refer to me, etc. الذي يخرج منه الدم على الاستمرار ماذا يفعل للصلاة يصلي والدم يخرج منه. The one that the blood keeps coming out from him, what does he do when he wants to pray? The answer, he prays while the blood comes out, because it does not stop. If he knows that it will stop after half an hour, 1 hour, so he can pray before the time is out, he waits. But it does not stop. So what does he do? He prays while the blood comes out. هل الذي يعمل على فك السحر يجب عليه أن يتعلم السحر؟ لا. شو دخل هاي بهاي؟ The question is, the one who works in breaking the sorcery, if you want to say, does he have to learn sorcery? The answer is no. Those are two different things. Why would he learn sorcery? He learns how to protect people from it, or to relieve them from its effect. Is it blasphemy for one to read horoscopes? If one reads with his eyes, that no, it is not kufr. It is not kufr. Why would one do that? Does one get reward and blessings for reading a surah of the Quran? To read a surah of the Quran off of a piece of paper other than from the Mus'haf itself, of course one gets reward for that. If he reads from a piece of paper or if he memorized it by heart, so he's reading it without, he's saying it without reading it from a paper. If the house is... The wives who pay it, can she go out and come back home any time without permission of husband? Yeah, if the house, there are two cases here. If the house is hers, if she rented it, then yes, she can go out and come back without the permission of the husband. But if he rented it and she is helping him in paying the rent, then it is still his house, so she needs his permission. It depends on the size of the house and his share. Does he have a share enough to be does he own a share enough to be considered fulfilling the conditions mentioned in the religion for the husband to be providing his wife with a proper shelter? So it depends on the size of the house and his share of it. What's the minimum you need to put on ground when doing sujood from foot and hands? Any part from the forehead, even if it is as small as the tip of a pin, and a part of each of the inner parts of the hands, a part of the knees, and a part of the a part of the inside of the toes. The pad of the toes. So seven organs have to be touching the place of sujood. What about finding lost article in a musalla? How do you do with it? Well, a musalla, it depends. Is the musalla owned by one person? For example, if I own a place and then I open it for people to use it as a prayer place, it is still mine. I did not make it as waqf. It is still mine. In this case, you come and ask me about the money. Maybe it's my money if you find it in the musalla. It depends. If it is a musalla owned by the Muslims in general, it's a public place, then it's like a masjid. So you treat it like, you treat this lost and found article like you treat a masjid. Who wrote this question? So what did the person mean by that? If he means, does the musalla have the same state as a masjid in a way that one does not ask inside the musalla about this lost and found thing? No, the musalla is not like the masjid in that. But one posts a paper, asks the people, tells the people if anyone lost something like that. Can one go to a non-Muslim marriage? Yeah, without committing any sin. So depending on the situation, he can. For men to wear necklace and bracelet that has religious benefit. Okay. Is it permissible? Necklace and bracelet that have. If you mean by the necklace that piece of that hivz, it is permissible to wear it. And if you mean by the bracelet this thing that has the verses on it, it is permissible to wear it. Anyway, wearing bracelets for men is permissible. This is not something originally for women. Men and women, since long time ago, both they wear bracelets. So wearing a bracelet is permissible for men and for women. Wearing a necklace, it depends. If you are talking about a thread with a hivz at the end, it is permissible. If you are talking about a thread with a piece of metal at the end that has verses from Al-Quran or Zikr or the like, it is permissible. If you are talking about something else which you doubt, maybe this would be originally only for women, then ask about that. If it is something which is originally only worn by women, you don't wear it. Men do not wear it. I do not have more details about this issue, so I will ask inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Nuhallil. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.